last case today is 2022-1253 in the matter of disciplinary counsel versus Nowicki. Mr. Nowicki, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. Chief Justice Kennedy, other justices, may it please the court. I believe in reviewing all of the briefs in this matter, the complaint in this matter, as well as the decision from the board, I think that the important factor here with regards to the discipline that's requested, the board is requesting a 1 year, 6 month state suspension. Myself and the disciplinary counsel are requesting that it be a 1 year fully stayed suspension. And I think the pivotal factor is whether or not there's a lack of selfish or dishonest motive. When we're looking at the aggravating factors, yes, I do have prior discipline. Two other cases that were cited by the disciplinary counsel as well as the board, I dealt with those issues when they arose. I dealt with them swiftly as I could. And with respect to mitigating factors, there's the full and free disclosure, as well as my cooperativeness during these disciplinary proceedings. So when I'm reviewing the board's decision, it seems that they're implying that I acted with a dishonest or selfish motive by having an affair with Ms. Sandra Nowicki now. And I think in my case, as well as other disciplinary cases, it is a factual determination. The court has to consider all of the circumstances that go into it, and facts are essential to making a determination of not only whether or not a factor is mitigating or aggravating, but also with respect to the discipline and punishment that might be imposed. And I think disciplinary counsel in his, objection, he indicated that it's a tipping of the it's a balancing act, and it's a matter of deciding whether or not to tip the scales in one direction or the other. The board have made reference to an Owen case and a Leon case, and I would indicate that my relationship was different than the relationships in those cases. When reading the facts in those cases, it appeared that those attorneys began relationships that had beginnings through the representation. In my case, my relationship with my wife grew from circumstances unrelated to the representation. She was an employee in my office. We became friends through that employment. I took on the representation in the civil case pro bono, trying to help out a friend and employee, and herself, her son, and Mr. Clark were all listed as defendants. So I took on representation on that whole side because there were other co-defendants involved. And it's...
What about the divorce case? Did you represent your now wife during her divorce?
Yes, Your Honor. And I was about to get to that point in my notes. In looking at what I did through the divorce, perhaps one could argue that helping her with the divorce helped further our relationship together. So in that regard, it would be selfish. But again, that representation was only based on the friendship that had developed.
That representation or the civil matter representation? Because as the statute or the rule, the relationship with your now wife was present before the divorce?
Not any kind of romantic relationship in terms of friendship, employee, employer.
So the civil matter where they were defendant and the divorce?
Yes.
Okay.
They all kind of arose from the same beginning of a relationship. So, I mean, this, in reviewing all of our arguments in this case, as well as the board's decision, speaking to disciplinary counsel out in the hallway, this presents an interesting circumstance because he and I have the same opinion as to what discipline should be imposed. And the only reason why we're here making oral arguments, I believe, is because we're trying to express our position in contrast to what the disciplinary board had decided in making their decision. And I think that boils down to whether or not I had a selfish or dishonest motive in what I did. And again, I would concede that, you know, furthering my relationship with her into what it is now was facilitated by the filing of the divorce complaint and proceeding through the divorce. But then in looking through some of the other cases that were referenced by the board, it's important to note that there was no harm. And I think disciplinary counsel noted that in his objections as well. I didn't take any money from Mr. Clark. In the divorce, there was no custody issue. There was no exchange of spousal support. There was no harm imposed on him. And I don't want to demean the seriousness of what I did. I do accept responsibility for what I did. But this action wasn't brought by Mr. Clark.
But you began a sexual relationship with her in April of 2019, and then while that was underway, filed a divorce in August of 2019.
That is correct.
Okay. Well, I thought you said that you were just friends before the...
We were friends?
No, before the divorce filing. So the relationship did start, the romantic relationship, before the filing, before
yes.
representing her divorce. Okay, I thought
apologize.
You said, okay.
Paragraph 17 of the report deals with selfish or dishonest motive, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The panel found that, right? And the
yes.
board found that.
Right.
So why weren't they correct? I mean, that's what you're trying to say. I'm trying to get you to your point.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying is that...
But why? That's what I want to know.
I think the way I'm trying to make the argument is based on the other decisions that the board had referenced, not only during our oral argument in front of the board, but also in their decision, the Owen case and the Leon case, and how our...
But no, and they gave the guy 2 years out, 2 years suspension, 1 year stayed.
That's correct.
So one full year out.
Yes.
That's more than what anybody's...
I understand that, Your Honor, but in this case, I'm saying
and
that...
he had no prior discipline.
That is correct. But his relationship on any level started through the representation. So it's as if he had used his client in order to gain access to his client's wife to start the relationship. In this case, Ms. Clark, now Mrs. Nowicki, was an employee of mine. She had befriended me throughout that whole year because I was going through my own divorce. And then I took on this case. Mr. Clark left her and her their children.
After he found out about your affair?
That was in December. He thought that we were having an affair, but we were really good friends, and we didn't start a relationship until April of the following year.
And then he left in June, right?
That's no, the way he left in December.
Before April?
Yes.
Okay. So the report isn't quite correct. Because it says... In June 2019, Roger Clark learned of the relationship between respondent and Sandra. That's paragraph 10 I'm at. So that's incorrect.
No, that's when he found out. He'd left back in December of 2018.
Okay, but he was still employing you in June of 2019. You were still representing him.
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't recall whether or not I said this during the hearing in front of the board and the panel, but in representing him, I never had any interactions with him about that case. It was just assigning my name to represent, at that time, all of the clerks, Sandra, her son Caleb.
He was your client.
He was my client. So I guess in that regard, you know, I'm up here trying to differentiate myself from those other cases in that Although it wasn't a relationship in the sense of a sexual relationship with her that had started previously, my relationship with her as a friend, a coworker, a colleague had started prior to my representation and then prior to also the filing of the divorce complaint.
When you represented Sandra in the divorce proceeding, was the civil matter over?
No, I had filed to withdraw from that.
To withdraw from that.
And the decision for the withdrawal didn't come down until after the filing.
So Mr. Clark would not have been considered your client when you filed the divorce. Maybe there might have been some other conflict issues involved, but for purposes of the rule, would not have been a client.
Right. And I think one of the things the panel did note is that in my motion to withdraw from the civil proceeding, I did not indicate the relationship that I had with Ms. Clark at that time. I specifically referenced the fact that we had become opposing parties as a result of the June 2019 incidences where he had committed the acts of telephone and telecommunications harassment against myself and Ms. Clark.
But you
the report says that in paragraph 9 that the relationship, the intimate relationship, started in April of 2019.
That's correct.
Why didn't you withdraw then? Wouldn't that have been the way to do it?
Yes, Your Honor. I do admit that. In
and
hindsight,
so you waited until August?
Yes. I had had discussions with the opposing counsel on the civil matter. I was under the understanding it was going to be dismissed, and it eventually was after the filing of everything else.
So, but you could control when you file the divorce action, so why didn't you wait to file it until after you got the approval of the court to withdraw? Because that does affect the way that the public looks at the legal profession.
That's correct. And I don't have any explanation as to why the timing was the way it was. And, you know, I've had clients look up this case, present clients, and they've read through the complaint, and I had one client specifically tell me, you know, sometimes love is love. And he's like, he understands why I'm here. That client understands why I'm here. But he looked at it as like, you know, I'm still going to retain you as my attorney because you've got, this is, I don't know if a lot of people deal with the situation, but, you know, things kind of developed organically. And if I could go back in time, I would have changed how I handled everything during that period of time. But everything was just kind of moving the way they were moving, and it happened the way it did. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bessler, good morning.
Good morning, Chief Justice Kennedy, distinguished members of the court. May it please the court, my name is Adam Bessler, and I represent the Office of Disciplinary Counsel. Relator joins respondent in requesting the court impose a 1-year fully stayed suspension for 3 reasons. Before I get to those, I would like to address Mr. Nowicki's point regarding the aggravating factor of a dishonest or selfish motive. There's one point I would like to specifically bring up, that the court relies on the Leon and the Owen cases to find a dishonest or selfish motive. But when you read those opinions do not specify specifically why the court found there to be a dishonest or selfish motive. It could potentially be for the board, the reason the board cites in its report that the attorney engaged in a relationship with the spouse of a client. But it could also be the much more egregious misconduct that we see in the Leon and Owen cases. In the Leon case, the clients come to the attorney for assistance with a bankruptcy, and Leon lies to the clients about delays for filing a petition for bankruptcy. He lies about actually filing the bankruptcy. He engages in an affair with the spouse of a client, and based on his neglect of the case and his lies, the clients lose their home and their car. Similarly, when we look at the Owens case, the couple came to Mr. Owens for help defending a capital murder case. Mr. Owens engages in an affair with the spouse of his client, which results in his client being deprived of the effective assistance of counsel in a capital murder case. After his client is sentenced to life in prison, he fails to disclose that affair to appellate counsel, which results in appellate counsel being unable to bring that argument on behalf of his client at appeal.
So are you saying because there were no adverse effects to his representation in the divorce case that this distinguishes?
Yes, and to a degree that does distinguish it.
Had there been some adverse effects in the divorce case, would that be, would that change disciplinary counsel's recommendation?
Well, every case is taken on its own merits, and so every fact matters. So depending on what those facts are, that could potentially change things. But in this instance, there was no harm. And when we look at the Fortado and Seward cases that the parties relied on in reaching their stipulated sanction, the court specifically found that there was a lack of a dishonest or selfish motive in both of those cases.
I'm sorry, and I apologize, I don't remember. How did this matter come to the attention of disciplinary counsel?
This was originally filed by one of the certified grievance committees, and they were had to withdraw from representation. Our office took over prosecution of the matter, Your Honor.
Does the fact that this is a second disciplinary, I mean, forget the first, the registration, I don't care about it, but the second named valid disciplinary action, that doesn't matter?
That absolutely matters, Your Honor. Mr. Nowicki engaged in serious misconduct, and he's admitted such, and we are recommending a serious sanction of a one-year state suspension. What we're saying is—
But you're saying it all. It's no days out.
Yeah,
that is correct.
Why do you call that?
Why do you say that?
Yeah. Well, when we look at the Fortado and the Seward cases, we see Mr. Fortado engaged in similar misconduct, and a client came to him in a divorce matter, and Mr. Fortado engaged in a sexual relationship with that client, which it lasted 2 years after representation. Mr. Mortado's single aggravating factor was prior discipline. However, in that case, the prior discipline was a two-year suspension with 1 year stayed based on Mr. Fortado having prior convictions for drug possession, neglect of multiple cases, and failure to cooperate. And in that case, despite the board's recommendation of a one-year suspension with 6 months stayed, the court imposed a one-year fully stayed suspension. When we turn again and look at the Seward case, we see again a client comes to Mr. Seward for assistance with a divorce, and they engage in a 1.8J violation. They were friends, and they ended up living together. Similar to what we see here, Mr. Seward's sole aggravating factor was his prior discipline, and he had a two-year suspension with 18 months stayed and received a six-month stayed suspension despite having 1.7A2 and 1.8J violations like we see in this case, as well as an 8.4D and an 8.4H.
Do you have cases, though, where you've got three public matters that are filed? One, a civil case where he's representing his now wife and her ex-husband, but they're married at the time. Second one where there's a violation of a protection order where it's very clear in that public filing that they have a relationship by this time, he and his now wife, and that the ex-husband starts coming after them because of that relationship. And then before the withdrawal's even approved, he's filing and representing her in a divorce. Don't you think that somebody who just sits in front of a computer and puts all that together is going to be scratching their head saying, lawyers are allowed to do that?
I agree, Your Honor, that it's serious misconduct, and we—
It's conflicts all over the place. It's messy.
Yes. Yes, there is, Your Honor. And we're not condoning Mr. Nowicki's actions in any way. We're merely saying that each case is unique and each fact matters. And when we look at the facts of Mr. Nowicki's case, they more closely align with Fortado and Seward than they do with the Leon and Owens cases.
Even though both the panel and the board found selfish motive?
Yes, Your Honor.
Counsel, this court consistently says that the imposition of discipline is meant to protect the public, not so much to punish the offender.
Yes, Your Honor.
How would a six-month actual suspension in this case, why would that be necessary to protect the public?
Well, it's our position that a one-year fully stayed suspension is the appropriate sanction.
Right. And his clients aren't affected, right?
There's been no harm to Mr. Nowicki.
There's something hanging
clients.
Over his head if he commits discipline during that time period.
Yes, Your Honor.
Serious consequences if he deviates.
Yes, Your Honor. 1 year state suspension is a serious consequence that would.
It's permanently on his record.
It would follow him for the rest of his career, Your Honor. Yes.
Thank you.
Now, I want to contrast to some degree Mr. Nowicki's prior discipline. We have not discussed that yet. He has, as you mentioned, the 1 year. He has his initial discipline is from 2005, and that was a registration suspension. His second instance of discipline occurred back in 2012. That was resolved with a consent agreement based on a single instance of neglect. And so when we compare that to what we see in Fortado and Seaward, we see that Mr. Nowicki's prior discipline is much less egregious, even though there are two instances of it. Turning to the second point I wanted to make today, the facts of Mr. Nowicki's 1.8J violation are unique. As the dissent in Fortado notes, it is critical to remember that lawyers have an inherent power imbalance in the attorney-client relationship, and a client cannot consent to a relationship with their attorney. However, that exploitation exists along a continuum. As we look at the clients in Fortado and Seaward, we see they're going through divorces, which are serious, life-altering events. And similarly, in Leon, this is a bankruptcy where they lost their home and their car. And in Owens, they're facing capital murder charges. As Mr. Nowicki pointed out here, he was assisting his friend and his legal secretary with a minor civil matter based on some petty vandalism charges that their teenage son had engaged in. And so while that in no way excuses or mitigates Mr. Nowicki's conduct, it's worth noting that Mr. Nowicki has a pre-existing friendship with Ms. Sandra Clark at the time the representation begins. And the case
and she worked for him too, right?
Yes, she was his legal secretary.
So did she remain his legal secretary when they started having a sexual relationship?
It is my understanding she has continued to remain his legal secretary.
And that gets a pass?
No, it doesn't entitle him to a pass at all, Your Honor. He's engaged in serious misconduct, and that's why we're here today, to determine the appropriate sanction for that serious misconduct.
Counsel, would you, if he had filed his withdrawal before their relationship began, or at least got public, would that change disciplinary counsel's recommendation? Your recommendation now is 1 year fully stayed, 1 year suspension fully stayed. And it just seems to be a matter, to some degree, of timing with which he could separate his professional responsibilities from his personal relationship. So is disciplinary counsel more concerned with the fact that he was representing the Clarks when this relationship formed, or that he was in the relationship before he started representing her in the divorce matter?
Both of those are causes for concern, Your Honor. The attorney-client relationship formed with Sandra Clark, and then they initiated a sexual relationship, which is where the 1.8J violation arises. And his continued representation of both Sandra and Roger gives rise to his 1.7A2 violation.
For future reference, and for, I guess, any lawyers who might be listening, what should have happened? What, I mean, assuming, you know, love is love, that, you know, Mr. Nowicki or no one else can control how they feel about someone, professionally speaking, what should have happened here to protect his law license and now his marriage license?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe Mr. Nowicki should have withdrawn from representation of the Clarks before he engaged in any sort of romantic relationship with Sandra Clark.
And what about the divorce matter?
I think that he obviously should have withdrawn from representing, I don't think he should have filed for divorce on behalf of Sandra Clark, having represented Roger Clark, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, if there are no further questions, I believe I've discussed all the points that I wanted to discuss this morning. Relate a request that the court impose a 1 year stayed suspension in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Nowicki, you still have 2 minutes, 36 seconds if you'd like to say anything else.
No, thank you.
Thank you so much. We will take the matter under advisement and you will receive a decision from the court. Marshall, would you please close the court?
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.